Good morning. This is Kevin Woolley, Minister of Music at Mount Sylvan Baptist Church. We'd like to welcome you to our morning worship services with Pastor Bruce Rudd.
Okay, we're in Hebrews chapter 5, and let's read through verse 6, but I'm going to look primarily in just a moment at the baptism of Jesus because I want you to see how all this connects. And so we're looking at the high priest, who is Jesus, and all of his glory. And so they're going to start out, the writer is starting out telling us a little bit about the earthly priest so that we can understand something about Jesus Christ, our true high priest. For every high priest taken from among men is appointed for men, key word, appointed, is appointed for men in things pertaining to God, that he may offer both gifts, like meal offerings, things like that, and sacrifices for sins. Okay, secondly, talking about the earthly priest right here. The only reason it's capital H right here is because it's starting the sentence. He can have compassion on those who are ignorant and going astray, since he, little h, himself is also subject to weakness. Now we know our Jesus is the same. Verse 3, because of this he is required, as for the people, so also for himself, to offer sacrifices for sins. Now the act started. Verse 4, and no man takes this honor to himself, but he who is called by God. So the priest has to be called of God. Just as Aaron was, so also Christ did not glorify himself to become high priest. We'll see that at his baptism. But it was he who said to him, you are my son, today I have begotten you. As he also says in another place, you are a priest forever, according to the order of Melchizedek. And we will look more into that when we get into chapter 7, where chapter 7 elaborates more on the order of Melchizedek. So I don't want to get too much into that today. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we love you. We thank you, Lord, for your word. And God, today, what we will see is that you are glorious. Lord, you're glorious in Ukraine. You're glorious around the world. You're glorious here at Mount Sylvan. You're glorious in our lives. We can see your glory on a daily basis. And God, we want to see you in all of your splendor today. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Now, the title of the message this morning is The Revealing of the High Priest, His Baptism. Next week, we'll be looking at verses 7 and 8, and we're going to be looking at the agony of the high priest, Gethsemane. Verses 7 and 8 deal with when Jesus was in the Garden of Gethsemane. You can see how we're naturally leading up to our Easter service and our Easter scene right here in Hebrews. And not sure exactly what I'm going to do on Easter Sunday, but I've got a good idea of it, and I may connect a couple of dots from Hebrews, but we'll probably be in a different passage in the Bible for that. So when you think about lifting the curtain or how Jesus has been introduced, consider the thought of, if you've ever been to a play or you've been to some kind of big public event, and you know how they have the curtain shut and then the curtain opens and then the stars come out and they perform or whatever they do. That's what we see in Jesus. And as Christians, our goal is this. We want to get to know Jesus better and better every day. We want to learn about his character. We want to learn about his power. We want to learn about his glory. And as we're learning about Jesus, what happens is it's reciprocated, because then the Holy Spirit can take what we've learned about him and then use it to energize us in our worship, in our prayers, in our living for him, in our walk, and all the other things that we need as Christians. So it's important we get to know who the curtain has been opened for. I don't know if y'all have ever been to Copper Break State Park. Has anybody ever been to Copper Break State Park? Y'all ought to go to Copper Break State Park. I hear they have fried chicken there. Copper Break State Park is just south of Quanta. Like you're going to Amarillo, if you look at that big square right on top of Texas up there, you just come right down that right side where it hits that flat, kind of go down and go like that and put a dot, and you'd be right there at Copper Break State Park. It is a state park that has been designated as an international dark sky park. Did you know that existed? By the International Dark Sky Association. That's true. You can read about it in the Texas Parks and Wildlife magazine. And this park, there is a rating from 1 to 9 on dark skies. And this park rates of as a 2, number 2 of dark skies. And it is a really clean, really nice national park where people can come, and at a new moon or something like that, you can look at the constellations. You can see the stars very well because there's so little artificial light that is filtered into that area. It reminds me, Jan, of when we were in Brazil and there's no light and you can see the stars. They just look so bright. Now, during the daytime, when you're looking up at the sky, all you see is blue. I looked up at the sky yesterday. I didn't see anything. I saw a bunch of blue, but that's all you see. But you go out there at night, on a beautiful night when there's no moon, on a clear night, and you look up at the sky, and the sky comes alive with a starry constellation. You can see the Big Dipper and the Little Dipper. I used to have a guy that worked with me. He was real big, and I was real little, and we both dipped. So he was the Big Dipper, and I was the Little Dipper. That's before I got saved. That was years ago. It's not a time for confession. It's time to preach. All right, let's get in our text. And I want to point out just a few things in Hebrews 5, and then we're going to flip back in the New Testament and look at some things in John at the revelation of Jesus Christ and his priestly ministry. So here we go. Look at chapter 5, verse 1, Hebrews. Here we're going to see the constellations start being removed in Jesus as he uses how God set the pattern in the Old Testament. For every high priest taken from among men is appointed for men. So a priest had to represent man. He had to come from among men. That's why Jesus had to come and be born in Bethlehem. In order to be our prophet, priest, and king, order of Melchizedek, he was king and priest. But in order to be our prophet, priest, and king, he had to take a body upon himself because every priest taken from among men is appointed for men in things pertaining to God, that he may offer both gifts and sacrifices for sins. Now look at verse 2. So the first thing about a high priest is he had to come from among men. Think about that. Secondly, he had to be empathetic and compassionate. Verse 2. He can have compassion on those who are ignorant and going astray. I'm glad he can have compassion on the ignorant. And since he himself is also subject to weakness. But you know what that means? The ignorant means those who sinned in something that perhaps they didn't know it was a sin or they didn't even realize that they were sinning. Those who, not people that are just falling head over heels to sin on purpose before God. Not people that are in absolute rebellion before God. He's saying that you come, and so that those who are coming in repentance can be atoned for. Because we have to come to the Lord in repentance to receive his atonement. That's a clear instruction in the scripture. But Jesus has come to forgive anybody and everybody. Anybody can come to the Lord Jesus Christ and have their sins forgiven. I don't care how bad you are. You can come to Jesus and have your sins forgiven. And so he says it needs to be somebody. That priest on that earthly scene needs to be somebody that God selects that can understand the weakness of man's heart. Well, that priest could do it. Jesus, when he came empathetic and compassionate. He was tested in all ways that we are, yet without sin. Okay, look at verse 3. There was not only the compassionate side of the priest, there was a requirement. Because of this, he is required, as for the people, so also, now watch this, do not miss this part. So also for himself, that's the priest. Because of this, he is required as for the people, so also for himself to offer sacrifices for sins. He's saying this priest, this earthly priest, he's a sinner too. He's messed up too. So he's got to also lay his hands on the head of the sacrifice and confess his sins on the head of that sacrifice as that lamb is killed before that blood is sprinkled in the altar. You say, how in the world is Jesus going to fulfill that part of the shadow? If all of the priestly offices, if all these patterns in the Old Testament were a shadow of Jesus, then Jesus, he didn't sin. How can Jesus fulfill that part? How can he fulfill it? We're going to see that in just a minute, how he fulfilled it. And I think it'll excite you for what he did, because it was love and how he fulfills that part. Then lastly, he had to be called. Look at verse 4. And no man takes this honor to himself, but he who is called by God, just as Aaron was, so also Christ, now he brings Christ into the picture as the true priest, so also Christ did not glorify himself to become high priest. But it was he who said to him, this is a picture of the Father, the Son, and when we go to his baptism, including the Holy Spirit, he who said to him, you are my Son, today I have begotten you. As he also says in another place, and you are a priest forever according to the order of Melchizedek, basically meaning that you transcend the tribe of Levi, you're in the tribe of Judah, and you go all the way back to Melchizedek in Genesis, king of Salem. He was a priest and he was a king. Jesus is a priest and he is a king, and he transcends the law. Matter of fact, he could even transcend Genesis. He goes all the way back into everlasting's past as the foundation of our salvation. So, I hope that introductory helped you to understand that. Now flip back to John chapter 1, the Gospel of John, chapter 1, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. And I want to show you something, and then we're going to go to Matthew chapter 3 and look at his baptism. First thing we see, and this is on your outline, the eternal high priest was revealed. He had to be revealed. He didn't, remember, the Bible just told us that Jesus didn't come and suddenly appoint himself. Jesus waited till the perfect time of the Father to be revealed publicly in an earthly way. Now, when you look at verse 31, look at what John the Baptist said here, and you'll see him say it again in verse 33. John chapter 1, verse 31. John the Baptist testifies this. Now, he knew he was the forerunner. He knew why he came into the world and all these things. But he says, I did not know him, talking about Jesus. He wants to know him. He wants to meet him. He wants to know that it is the one that God is bringing about to be the Savior of the world. But remember, Jesus hadn't began his public ministry yet. He's about 30 years old right here in John chapter 1, and he's fixing to begin his public ministry. So John the Baptist says, I did not know him, but that he, capital H, should be revealed to Israel. Therefore I came baptizing with water. And John bore witness, saying, I saw the Spirit descend from heaven like a dove, and he remained upon him. John's basically saying right there, I found him. I didn't know him in 31, but I know him in verse 32, because there was a sign given to where I'd know who it was. Now look at verse 33. Again he says it. I did not know him, but he who sent me, notice that capital H, he was sent by the Father. But he who sent me to baptize with water said to me, upon whom you see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, this is he who baptizes with the Holy Spirit. See that transition that's been made? What a beautiful thing that is. This is he. John's saying, I'm baptizing in water. Let me tell you something. When that Savior comes, when the Messiah comes, he's going to baptize your heart and your soul. He's going to clean your heart and soul up. I can't do that. John's saying, I can baptize you into a state of mind of repentance, but only Jesus can baptize you into a state of salvation. And he'll do that by the Holy Spirit. And not only will he baptize us in a state of salvation, he will continue to baptize us in the ability to live for him. What that means is we've been immersed in the Spirit of the Lord Jesus Christ. We've been immersed so that we're totally surrendered to who he is and what he calls us to do. It's a beautiful picture of how the Holy Spirit works in our heart. Then he says in verse 34, and I have seen and testified that this is the Son of God. Now, we're going to transition real quick. And in verse 35, there were two disciples that were there that followed John the Baptist. They're there when Jesus gets baptized. They're there. And they the next day is coming along. And the next day they see John declaring, there's the Lamb of God. And I want to show you what happens. This is the purpose of you as a witness. This is your purpose. And this is my purpose as a preacher, what we're going to see unfold. And this is the purpose of why Jesus came. So here we go, verse 35. Again, the next day, John stood with two of his disciples. Notice it's a little h. That's John's disciples. And looking at Jesus as he walked, he said, behold, the Lamb of God. verse 37. The two disciples heard him, that's John the Baptist, so read it like this. The two disciples heard John the Baptist speak, and they followed Jesus. There's the purpose of the church. There's the purpose of a preacher. The two disciples heard him speak, and they followed Jesus. John the Baptist is declaring that Jesus is the Lamb of God, and the two disciples quit following John the Baptist, and they started following Jesus. That's what happened. Then Jesus turned, and seeing them following, said to them, "What do you seek?" So now these two disciples that used to follow John, they're now following Jesus. Jesus turns around, looks at them, says, "What are you seeking?" They said to him, "Rabbi, where are you staying?" He said to them, "Come and see." Now you see how Jesus is being revealed to people's hearts. Keep watching. They came and saw where he was staying and remained with him that day. Now as about the 10th hour, one of the two who heard John speak and followed him was Andrew. You know Andrew, one of the disciples. Simon, Peter's brother. He first found his own brother, Simon, that's Peter, and said to him, "We have found the Messiah." Now, that's your second word on your outline, anointed. When you see this word right here, that means the anointed one, the commissioned one. When we say, sing that song, Jesus, Messiah, what we're saying is, Jesus, you are the Christ. Jesus, you're the commissioned one. Jesus, you're the anointed one. Not anointed by men, but anointed by God. The priests that were here in the Old Testament period, anointed by men, sinful like men, needed to be forgiven like men, needed to confess their own sin like men, even before they could atone for sins of the people in the Holy of Holies. And so Jesus, Messiah, commissioned one, anointed one. You can make a note of Psalms chapter 2 right there. Now, verse 42 of John 1, and he brought him to Jesus. So Andrew went out. Andrew was following John the Baptist. Then John the Baptist pointed him to Jesus. So he started following Jesus. Then Andrew realized this Jesus is the Christ. He is the anointed one. He is the Messiah. So he goes and finds his brother Peter, brings Peter to Jesus. And then look, here's the response in verse 42. And he brought him to Jesus. Now when Jesus looked at him, he said, "You are Simon." It's interesting because I don't think Andrew walked up to Jesus and said, "Jesus, I'd like to introduce you to my brother. His name is Simon." Jesus didn't need any introductories. He knew everybody before they knew him. He already knew his name. And Jesus looks at him and says, "You are Simon, the son of Jonah." He knew his daddy. You're Simon, the son of Jonah. And I imagine Peter's like, "Andrew, have you been talking to Jesus about us and about me?" And he says, "But you're going to be called different. You'll be called Cephas," which is translated a stone. And we know that's what the name Peter means. Now, flip back to Matthew chapter 3. So we see that he has been revealed. John the Baptist said, "I came to reveal him." He's been revealed. He's revealed. He is revealed as our high priest. He is anointed by God, not by men. He had to be called by God. He couldn't be called by men to fit the earthly pattern of the priesthood. And then lastly, he had to be accepted. That's number 3 on your outline. He had to be accepted, and we're fixing to see how he was accepted. Matthew chapter 3, and let's start out where he says to fulfill all righteousness. Let's back up. Let's start at verse 13. Matthew chapter 3, verse 13. Here's that scene that John was alluding to in John chapter 1, where he saw the dove following Jesus. Verse 13. Then Jesus came from Galilee to John at the Jordan, watch this, to be baptized by him. Now, you got to picture the scene real quickly. Can you just see John the Baptist, there he is baptizing, or there he is maybe fixing to baptize, or maybe he's just at the river, and Jesus is standing in line, humbly, stands in line, and he gets up to, but he came for that purpose, the Bible tells us that, because he knew it was time, at 30 years old, it's time for his public ministry to begin. He's got to be revealed as the high priest. Then Jesus came from Galilee to John at the Jordan to be baptized by him. By the way, I don't know what time of year that was, but we did some baptizings in that Jordan River, And I don't know if you've ever been in the Jordan River. It's cold, isn't it, Cliff? Man, it's cold in there. I'm getting frostbite thinking about it. And John tried to prevent him, saying, I need to be baptized by you. And are you coming to me? But Jesus answered and said to him, here it is, permit it to be so now, for thus it is fitting. Did you catch that? It's fitting. Following that pattern, Jesus is fulfilling the Old Testament pattern. It is fitting. It means it fits right. It's placed right. For us, notice John the Baptist is involved in this. For us, he didn't use the word me. He says for us. He didn't say for me to fulfill all righteousness. He says for us to fulfill all righteousness. He's saying, John the Baptist, you may not understand it, but from the creation of this world, it's been in God's plan that you would be used to reveal me. You don't know it yet, but there's going to be some scriptures that Mount Sylvan Baptist Church just got through looking at in John chapter 1 that is going to testify to how you revealed me publicly and how the Father came and anointed me as prophet, priest, and king. It's pretty powerful. That's why it says for us to fulfill all righteousness. Now, this reminds me of Peter in John chapter 13 when Peter said, no, Lord, you're not going to wash me. You're not going to wash me. I need to be washing your feet. And Jesus said, if you don't let me wash you, you can have no part of me. Peter jumps back up and says, wash all of me. Wash all of me. John the Baptist changes his mind right here and says, okay. And he allowed him because he understood what happened. Verse 16, and we're almost through, but catch the scene. You're going to see the anointing. You're going to see where he's accepted, and you're going to see where he's revealed now by the Father. When he had been baptized, Jesus came up immediately from the water. And behold, the curtain is open like the night sky. And behold, the heavens were opened to him. And he saw the Spirit. So now you have the Son of God, and you have the Spirit of God. And he saw the Spirit of God. This is his anointing, by the way. Descending like a dove. In Old Testament times, the anointing was with oil. Jesus didn't need oil poured on his head. He got the oil of the real thing. He had the Holy Spirit come down upon him. Descending like a dove and alighting upon him. That was what John had been told by God to watch for. John saw that and John's like, uh-oh, this works. What God told me just came to pass. I just saw it. That's why he declared it in John chapter 1. Verse 17, here's the calling of God. And suddenly a voice came from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son, capital S, by the way. For this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Do you see what you have right here? You had the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. You have the Father speaking from heaven, saying, this is my Son. This is the Holy Spirit alighting upon my Son, declaring of what is mine to you. This is my Son that was born of a virgin in Bethlehem, that took upon himself a body that does not have the nature of sin like man. He has the nature of God. This is my Son who is going to represent you and be called from among men. Because the earthly priest could not save you, my heavenly priest can. He has been sent from heaven not to condemn the world, but that through him the world might be saved. This is my Son that will represent you on 24 hours a day, 7 days a week when you put your faith in him. This is my Son that if you'll open the night sky and look at every single star, you'll learn a little bit more about his glory and his power. This is my Son that has the ability to give you eternal life, that has the ability to sustain you in the life that you now live, that has the ability to translate you from this earthly life into his glory, that has the ability to take care of all things, then cause everything to work together for the good to those who love the Lord according to his purposes. He's saying, this is the Son, and this is your high priest, and I want you to get to know him. And get to know him in all of his fullness, because the more you get to know him, the more you get to see his glory, the more you'll understand how he applies to your life. Does that make sense? Well, let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for your goodness. Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you, Lord, that the dots all connect all over the place in the Bible. And God, that this book, this Bible, this living word, governed by the Holy Spirit, has the ability to speak into a rebellious, sinful heart and turn that heart to you. And Father, that's our prayer. We live in a world. We live here in America, Lord, in a country that has been so blessed, still is so blessed. We have religious freedom, but our country, Lord, has rebelled. And Lord, we have turned away from you in so many areas of morality and just willful forgetfulness of God. And God, we pray for a great awakening in America to begin. And I think that it's already beginning. And Father, I pray that you would save souls en masse across the nations of the world. You said in your word, ask of me and I will give you the nations as an inheritance. Oh, that Psalms chapter 2, such a beautiful chapter. Ask of me and I'll give you the nations as an inheritance. That's speaking to you, Jesus. And Lord, we pray that all the nations of the world would begin to look up and quit looking horizontally. Father, we thank you for this church. We pray, Lord, for every detail of Mount Sylvan Baptist Church, that your hand be upon it. We thank you for the prayer team that Brother Bruce Irving is putting together. And God, we pray that you would energize their prayers. You said in your word, we can't even say Jesus is Lord except but by the Spirit of God. So, Lord, we pray that your Holy Spirit would speak even in and through our prayers. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be in here this morning and maybe the Lord has put on your heart that he wants you to identify with this church and to join this church. You can come forward as soon as the invitation begins. If you want to talk to me or Sean or Kevin, somebody about how to get saved, Jerry Crockler, there's a lot of people in here, anybody, any of our deacons, anybody, about how to give your heart to Jesus, we'll still be here and we'd be glad to help you with that. Let's stand.
Stand, please.
Softly and tenderly, Jesus is calling for you and for me. See on the portals he's waiting and watching for you and for me. Come home, ye who are weary, come home. Earnestly, tenderly, Jesus is calling.
Thank you for choosing to worship with us via the radio today. Come join us anytime at Mount Sylvan Baptist Church.